This is the SML Vaultcast.
Are you done?
I was just making sure everything was...
You just fingered my paper towel roll.
With his thumb.
All right, ready. Yes. What's up, everybody? I'm small.
I'm medium.
I'm large.
I'm medium large?
Youth large.
Youth large. You fucking...
I don't know. I can forget.
You've ruined the podcast.
It's all my fault.
Concert hoodie's back.
Concert hoodie.
Again.
All right, so...
Can I just, like, change it to the Uniballer or something?
No.
No.
See, one of these days we're going to go, like, retro or something like Starbucks and be like, I'm grande, I'm vente, I'm tall.
You mean we're going to become whatever. Spanish?
Yeah, just like...
Yeah, what is their actual sizing system? Because I have
small,
no fucking
It's small, medium, large. This has got to be different.
It's the same system as our podcast.
Well, no, but like...
Damn. Anyway, what is in store for the podcast this week? I guess we'll do a little throwback and just talk about what we're playing lately. Because we can air the debut of the dummy run segment, which is where we're not talking about Bogue as being a dummy at all, but...
Kind of.
Yeah, pretty much. It's going to be a segment where Bogue spends about an hour playing a recent or new release video game.
That I normally wouldn't play.
And then he gives his thoughts on it while I sit, laugh at him, and take notes. So this week's experiment of Dummy Run was Tomb Raider, the recent release that I know Tim has a lady boner over.
It's a solid game. I do have some gripes with it, which maybe we'll get into if we have time. But it is a solid game so far. I do enjoy it.
Yeah, I figure we could start this thing off by just reading off the notes that I have regarding the experiment.
I would like to start off with saying, hey, Bogue, you're going to play this game. This is what Joe says to me. You're going to play this game, and I'm not going to help you at all. I'm just going to watch and make fun of you. So that is like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. So I start playing the game, and Joe helped a lot more than he was going to.
It was probably
because
like,
otherwise we'd still be sitting there and I'd be getting killed by a boulder.
When he spends 15 minutes looking for a deer.
That's literally right there. Yeah, like they say, you need to hunt the deer. And if
I
you look to like,
away.
You're right.
It's right.
I scared it away many times.
When I did it, there was four
there was
deer
like four
there.
Deer.
And I pulled out my arrow. I was like, boom, boom, boom. And I was headshotting the deer. I was like Counter-Strike mode.
You gotta understand. Let you know where he killed the deer.
You gotta understand. I'm a boger, so I was like running. I was running after with a knife, going, "Come here!"
So let's see. Start the beginning where he's hanging from the rope, and he makes the comment, "Do I want to catch myself on fire?"
Well, because seriously. The other body drops after it gets caught on fire because you bump into it.
Yeah.
So then I was like, what the hell? Do I really want to catch myself on fire?
Huber and I were sitting there talking about that, too. It's like, this is a good idea.
It doesn't seem like a good idea at all.
It was a sarcastic, this is a good idea. Like, let's light myself on fire.
And see if I fall. Yeah.
And see if I fall the 30 feet.
To my freedom.
Yay! On my head.
And hopefully I'll magically extinguish when I hit the ground. And that'd be fucking great.
Perfectly landing on that metal rod as well.
Oh, yeah. It goes right into your stomach.
I'm sure that she loves
like,
landing
on my
rod.
Ovaries are hurting.
Let's see. She walks forward a bit, sees the other lady, like, strung up. She says, what is this place? And Bogue makes the comment, I don't know, but there's Jesus.
What?
There's Jesus. Was that
lady strung up? How they have the hanging torches that you could light your torch on.
Yeah.
He would repeatedly headbutt it. Just walking into it, so a metal hanging torch just smacked him in the face like a pair of balls dangling directly in front.
Oh, he's good at that.
Well, Laura Croft's into some weird shit, you know?
She's you don't
kinky.
Know that for sure.
She's a kinky
you don't
bitch.
Know that for sure.
And then we came to his first death. The very first guy in the game that grabs you.
See, I died there,
you died too.
Hold the stick back and forth. No, axe through the heart.
See, you got it.
No, that was a different one. He got killed a different one.
I got killed by the boulder.
Oh, no, this
I got
is
killed
the
by
very
the
first
too.
One.
Oh, okay, the
oh,
first,
no, we'll,
first
we'll
one.
We'll get to the boulder. Let's see. He went through the waterfall and then relit his torch and saw that he had to blow up those...
The mines. Sea mines.
So he walked back through a waterfall. Like, wow, water putting out fire. With a lit Imagine torch. That.
Well, you know, in his defense, I bet that there's a lot of people who, I mean, because you have logic, and then you have video game logic. Where yeah. it's like, well, I just get the torch, I go over and fucking blow the thing up. And then, like, you walk through the water, and you go,
Oh, yeah.
Water's bad for
Water
fire.
Totally puts that shit out.
And then he immediately followed that up with, there's a reason I don't play games like these.
Well, Bojay's reason for not playing games like this is it has more than two buttons on the controller. Yeah. It's too fucking complicated.
And it's not run right or run left or...
then we got to his second death, which was the boulder.
Yeah, but what about me lighting all the boxes on fire and they go under the waterfall and get put out as well? I'm like, fuck, this isn't going to work.
You know,
what, you spent a solid 3 or 4 minutes just lighting boxes on fire...
to get put out by the waterfall.
And watching the waterfall extinguish them.
Why isn't this working? I don't understand.
Maybe one will make it. Like, maybe
I won't put it all out. There was some hope. There was hope there. I had that twinkle in my eye thinking one of these things is going to make one of these boxes is going to work.
But yeah, then the second death was the boulder. Then his third death was the boulder. Then the fourth death was the boulder. Then the fifth death was the boulder, followed by the sixth death being the boulder.
Well, now, I don't know if I'm a retard or if it's just that the PC... Now, mind you, the PC version of this is the graphics are optimized through the fucking roof. Yeah. Like, it looks gorgeous. But it looks like what you console peasants call the next generation.
Asshole.
But... The one thing that they didn't do, which I understand because of the different... They released this on every platform other than the Wii U, was they have a hand for when you're going to use the use button.
Oh.
And then they have an exclamation point.
Yep.
An exclamation point for fucking whatever. For only QuickTime event necessity.
Yeah.
Now on the PC, it's E is the use button. That's like universal. It's like the whatever on the Xbox and PlayStation equivalent. That's usually the use button, and you know you mash it to like wrench things out, or you mash it to like defend yourself, push the guy off you, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then they throw this other button at you. That's you would think it'd be the same thing. You think like, all right. The dude grabbed a hold of you, mash E, and then it's like, all right, punch him in the face. Now they do the circle thing, where the circle starts going in, you have that amount of time to do it.
Yeah.
You have to press F for that on the keyboard. Everything else, though, is E. So, like, I'm sitting here, I keep dying to the boulder or the wolf that shows up later on. Like, the wolf kept killing me. It got to the point where I didn't know what button was
what. We'll get to that, too.
Yeah, I didn't know what button was what, so I just sat back in my computer and just watched her die over and over again, because I'm like...
Well, on the Xbox version, you got the circle that's shrinking, and it finally says hit Y. And
okay,
at least yours are color-coded, too.
Yeah, I hit the yellow...
Like, oh, okay, it's that one.
Nice. I hit the yellow Y button every time it said to hit the yellow Y button, and I would die. When I finally got through it, it's when that circle started shrinking. I hit the Y button before it even popped up on the screen. That's the only time I survived.
Yeah, I feel like that's my only gripe so far at the game, is that they've had... They didn't seem to communicate it very well to me as to what I'm supposed to fucking do with
the prompt. They prompt you to hit the button when it's already too late, type of thing.
Yeah. Well,
see, I had no problem with it. First time, I hit the Y button as soon as it popped up, and I got away.
Well, you know, you're also a lot sexier than I am. I don't know.
I am very sexy.
It might have been because I haven't played a game with a QuickTime event in it since, like, Resident Evil 4.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, from the reviews I've read, the QuickTime events... get a lot less frequent as the game goes on.
They seem to have pretty much disappeared at this point. Yeah. The only one I've gotten is you've grabbed onto something, you need to hit the grab button again.
Yeah, I'm thinking all those QuickTime events were from the original demos, mm-hmm. and they're like, really, QuickTime events? And they're like, oh, okay, oh yeah, people hate those, we forgot.
Well, yeah.
But we're already done with it, so we'll just leave them in. Yeah.
Continue.
After that is when you have to crawl on your hands and knees, which Bogue loves. He loves being on his knees. But you have to hit... On the Xbox, you had to hit the left and right trigger back and forth.
Oh, my God.
Well,
I'm not used to the LTRT LBLRT RB, all that stuff. So, I'm just mashing buttons.
Yeah, the ones that look like an analog stick, he's confused. The ones that look like triggers, he's even more confused.
He's just a track and field where you just mash two buttons. So,
the trigger.
I'm a Wii user. I'm shaking the shit out of the thing, and I'm going nowhere. Going nowhere. Trigger. Where do I plug in the nunchuck?
Something's vibrating.
It might have been me.
We'll hear that.
It's my sex life.
So the icons popped up for the left and right trigger. He immediately starts cranking on the two analog sticks, like, furiously. And he's confused why he's not. He's like, why the fuck isn't she moving? Those are the triggers, Bogue. So I have written here, note to Bogue, LS equals left stick, LT equals left trigger.
What a noob.
Fucking idiot.
Thanks for coming to work today.
Cutscene, she emerges from the cave and looks around, and then, you know, there's the little cutscene. She's talking, oh, there was, what was a
the title card comes out, too.
Yeah, and then
yeah, that's literally the intro to the game, and you already died.
Yeah, exactly. Then the Tomb Raider comes up, and I'm like, holy shit, that was just an intro?
And then she's standing there, and he's just staring at her, and he's like, oh, I'm playing.
Exactly. The cutscene was over, and I didn't realize it.
That happened to me in Bioshock, the first one.
I bumped,
when you come out of the water,
I bumped the analog stick, and it moved. And I'm like,
oh, that's how this works.
Well, yeah, it's a game.
Video games.
So she gets to the log that she has to cross. After he finishes crossing the log, he makes the comment, I don't think you can fall there. If you could, I would have. I was like, walk forward, bitch. So he tried to murder Lara Croft and failed.
It didn't seem like I had control over it, besides if I didn't press forward, she wouldn't go forward. But I couldn't, like, no matter what I did to the trigger or to the analog stick, she was just going to move forward really slowly.
That's one of my other gripes about the game. It's a minor gripe, too. It's not that bad because this game doesn't do it. It doesn't make it too obnoxious, but the game takes control away from you a lot to the point where it's just you hold forward and Lara Croft moves forward for 5 minutes while the camera just shifts around to show you how good the game looks. It's like, you know what, man?
The game does look amazing. Even on us peasants' console versions,
it's
fantastic.
Like, I just, something that makes me mad is it's, I mean, Uncharted does that a lot where it feels like you don't have control over the game at all. And like, you're not playing it, you're watching a movie. Mm-hmm. I feel like this does a much better job of making it feel like a game than the Uncharted stuff, which is basically action movie, quick time event.
Yeah.
You know?
But I actually went left and right and backwards on the analog stick to see if she would do anything besides just move creep forward. If I didn't do anything, she would stop. But she wouldn't move backwards, and she wouldn't move to either side. Because I thought it looked like she was creeping over to the one side, so I tried to compensate for it. And it just kept
She's good.
It just kept going on. Yeah, it was almost like the game was
dude, bitch, I got this.
Yeah.
Just hold forward. I'm good.
There's one point where she was on the radio and was just walking forward for me. I'm like, wow, the game's just gonna.
Yeah, but she only took like 4 steps.
Yeah, but that was because there's
really
a ledge.
Weird. It's like I thought it was like, oh, okay, so this is you kind of sit back and listen to the conversation, and then she takes like 3 or 4 steps, and then he's like, oh, she's not moving again. Oh,
yeah, okay. I leaned back in my chair to watch, and then it's like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, I did that a couple times. I just sat the controller down, and grabbed my burrito to like take a bite and watch the cut scene or whatever, and it's like, oh, I'm
is that what you're calling it these days?
The burrito? Yeah.
It was my dick. got to the campsite. She sees the fireplace there, opens the box of matches. Of course, there's only one match.
We made that same comment.
Sparks up perfectly. First words out of his mouth, I pretty much rule.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that the fire goes up, like, instantaneously. Yeah. Like, it's just like, woof! Oh, wow, that was fantastic. That was really good.
Yeah, so the fire was made of balsa wood and flash paper.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but it was the magic of my analog trigger stick
Yeah, and
that,
I like
that
the fact
flicked
that, like,
the match perfectly.
The further you progress in the game, you'll just find the fires already lit.
Yeah,
like, you're just like, oh wow, well, so I love this for
mind you, the bear would be pissed.
Mind you, sure would. I thought about this too, and I think that every time you find a campfire, it's usually right after a big fight with a bunch of guards. They're probably chilling around the fire. What else are you going to do? You're on a fucking island. I'd be making a fire and hanging out. And be like, oh, you got to patrol this area. I'd be like, fuck off. I'm just going to sit here by the fire, guys.
I'm sure there's a cooler with beers somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure. One thing that has surprised me, too, is a lot of the enemies are running around with bows and arrows. Bows and arrows. And which I...
That's what we do.
I understand. It doesn't seem like this place really gets too much reinforcement. It seems like everything there is pretty much scavenged.
Not many tourists.
But I was surprised about that. I didn't expect that most of the enemies to be running around with fucking bows and arrows. I expect a lot of gunfights, just straight-out gunfights. And then I had the bow, and that made me Katniss Everdeen. Continue.
All right, so...
Speaking of bows and arrows...
What about it?
This is about the time I pick up the bow and arrow.
So there's the cut scene, talking, whatever. She wakes up, it's morning... And then did Jen walk in and start talking to you, and you're just talking about something while the cutscene's playing?
No, I don't remember.
And then she leaves, and you go back to the game, and the game clearly, very clearly, told you that you're hungry and you need to hunt for food. Your first words: "Am I supposed to hunt?" My perfect reply is:
Did it not say it in the side?
Yeah.
It said, fuck off, hunt for food.
Which is why I immediately said, maybe you should pay attention to the game you're supposed to be playing. Then he
you're
asked,
only one
This is
task.
Not supposed to be fun!
Your only one task is to hunt for food.
You had one job!
Stare at them ass and titties.
Well, I did that and obviously fucked up the game.
Titties.
So, he has to find food, and he... It had to be 10-15 minutes just walking around that wooded area, chasing the deer instead of, like...
No, but what about the bow? I come to the girl hanging, you had to get the bow, and I'm like, how the fuck am I supposed to get up there?
How do you know
there?
It was a girl? Did you check?
Was it the girl? I thought it was a girl.
It was a dead body.
I thought it was a dead body with titties. It was a dead body with titties.
I didn't write any notes for that. Tell us your thoughts on knocking the body down.
Yeah, the... climb a tree or get up there somehow to get the body down.
I think you had to jump on a branch or something.
Yeah,
you
had to like jump around on like hill to hill or whatever. Like you're
It's like swinging at you.
And he's making fun of me for not being able to get up there.
I kind of zoned out a bit because he spent so long. My general note for that is Bogue must find food amazingly lost.
See, that's another thing that surprised me about it.
Took me 15 days to find food. Luckily, I didn't starve, or Laura didn't starve.
I thought the food would have a bigger role in it, because it's like...
It doesn't seem like it does anything.
Yeah, like, I think that I go over and I kill the deer and it gives me bolts to fucking upgrade my weapons.
What is happening right now?
That's like... There's the miniature skill tree-esque thing.
So what you're trying to say is this is a commentary on pollution in the world.
No.
The deer and all the little woodland creatures have bolts in them. Because they've been eating the pollution.
I mean, you're going the murder route, so you can get more scavenged by, like, just, like, knocking the things over and getting more experience for...
Well, and if everything I kill, like, drops more bolts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I'm
so
assuming...
keep killing.
I'm assuming the other way you can put points into the whole hunting aspect, and you get more by scavenging and hunting that way, as opposed to...
Yeah, I basically did that just so I can... I put all the points in the scavenging stuff so I could get... I could scavenge quicklier... And then upgrade faster, and then
quicklier.
And then
I put my points in
murder.
The scavenge. I think what scavenging is that so you can
so you could get your arrows back.
I was thinking that's probably my best bet at this point in time because
But the other thing too, as you're going through, there's arrows
everywhere. Yeah, there's an arrow fairy.
Like there's a hunter going through the woods, and he's like, "You'll never know when you fucking need these."
He's like, "Drop them here." It's like some kind of like weird Johnny Appleseed.
Or spreading arrows around. There's an arrow factory on the island, and one day it exploded,
and
it rained arrows everywhere.
And that's probably why there's not much life on the island, because the Aero Factory exploded.
Or because of the MacGuffin. Because
they were
plot,
working at the Aero
either
Factory.
Either or.
And then that's why they don't use guns, because they got discounts on the arrows, because because they were working in the Aero
Factory. I put my points towards the whole scavenger arrows back, because I figured that's all that's really going to help me at this point in time, because I don't know if I'm going to go back and actually finish this game as much as I got through the hour, and I got through the hour right about, I got the food, I cooked the food.
Well, we didn't get to the, one of the best parts is when you shot the deer once and it ran away.
Oh, yeah.
And then you finally creeped back up on it. It just, it stopped, it was eating some food. Drew the bow. Shot the arrow.
Right in its ass. Talking about the asshole shot.
He just exclaimed into the anus. With pride. Right in the asshole. Deer dead.
So the first shot I shot the deer in its neck.
Yeah.
That deer was so hardcore, it could breathe blood. It could breathe blood. But could that deer take a little bit of a tip in the butthole? No. No. And it was a buck.
Just the tip. Just the tip.
And it was a buck because it had horns. So that deer was clearly not gay. If that deer...
It was a homophobic deer.
It was an extremely homophobic
just
deer.
Just the tip killed it.
Because if that deer even had any anal play at all, he was just so upset that he would just... fall over dead. I'd rather be dead than to admit that I'm even curious about my sexuality.
Oh, this just took a
just
very
wanna, I just want to point that out to everybody. Anal play.
So the homophobic deer's dead.
Murdered a homophobic deer and did the world a service by eradicating hatred from the world.
Wow, this is taking a really dark turn.
On the way back, he ran to, you know, how you could find bushes and scavenge berries or whatever the fuck. He's like, oh, what's this? Poison ivy? That's delicious.
It was just this bush that lit up like, hey, pick me. So I picked it.
Pick me.
It's the Jesus bush. It's the Jesus lit up. Bush.
Yeah, I love that you can kind of, like, send out that, like, shock with a boom. And then, like, everything, like, lights up. It's like, I'm important. Come to me. No, come to me.
It's like you have some sort of, like, fucking sonar or something. Because it, like, it goes out like a dome. It's like Batman's detective vision.
Like Prototype 2.
The Inception sound. Just think the Inception sound. Oh, man. I wonder if I could modify the sound file.
Oh, for your...
Just change the sound name to the Inception sound. For Tomb Raider, just turned it into the bomb.
That'd be
Inception.
Cool.
That would be so funny.
That would.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
That'd be so good.
Yeah, let me switch my text sound back to.
There we go.
God, I love that sound. So you went through.
Wow, that actually concerns me.
That was a homophobe too.
That sounds. Joe's gonna be playing. Really gets
that
me
was out. That was a homophobe too.
You know that's Eric Smith, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Joe was like, "Hey, I'm gonna ah." You know.
Oh my God! Right, my butt.
I was gonna say Joe's gonna
just
play.
The tip. Just the tip.
Joe's gonna play Tomb Raider for all the misogynistic reasons.
I'm just gonna try and make it to the end of the game so I can see all those special castings.
I can't wait to watch the. I can't wait to watch the bro team for this.
It's gonna be unbelievable.
It's
gonna be so good.
It's gonna be priceless.
A rock to the throat.
No. Oh my God, I killed like 14 dudes with a rock.
As soon as you can start using your axe as a weapon, and there's like a finish him type of thing, she grabs a rock and bashes him over the head.
Oh, jeez.
Every single time. And you could just run through, kind of like how that game was, where you could just run through and do that to every single person, because you won't take damage while you're doing that.
Are you familiar with Bro Team?
No.
Okay, I'll put on a few after this, because it's... You either love it or hate it. It's just this asshole review guy. Real quick little videos, really funny, really just random humor. But he did a stream that's like 20 minutes long, whatever the length of Rogue Warrior is. And he literally, like, you can go through the whole game with just the knife. And that's what he does. It's a stream of him running through the... And he's like... he walks up to the first guy. He's like, now, he'll never expect this. A knife to the throat. And then the next guy, he'll never expect this. A knife to the throat.
And he does it for like 10 minutes.
10 minutes
solid,
out of the video.
Every single fucking person.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's like, I got something for you. A knife to the throat. Like, oh my god, it's so funny. This, I love this dude's videos. And he does streams, and you can, when he does multiplayer games, there's a forum that you can find, and, where they plan all the streams that you can jump in with them and play with them and just see the most, like they did, Terra. They all made the bear, the little bear guys. And they made a clan that I think it was called Barely Legal. And they were all just running around tormenting people, like trying to, like, because you can player kill people. They're trying to all be these little bears and go to like a town and try to just find somebody who's off on their own and circle them and just obliterate them. It was so, but they were all level like one characters. So anyone else in the game could just basically one-shot them. So, like, 30 of them would attack one guy, and 3 of them would live. Like, really funny stuff.
And all their names were, like, really terrible bear puns, and, like, almost, like the first, what, 15 minutes of the episode, it's just nothing but bear puns. I'll put it on.
Yeah, I'll put it on after this.
I think I played Terra for, like, 2 days. I did the 2-week trial.
Yeah, it was cool.
The only real thing I took from that game was that one of the NPCs in the first town area was named Taras.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I took a picture and sent it to Pappy. I'm like, I never thought I would see the name Taras in a video game that wasn't our friend Pappy.
That's our friend's name, Taras.
His real name is Taras Boutre. So, and his middle name is David.
Oh, yeah. Way to round that name out.
But it's very funny because in my old apartment, when I had, you know, caller ID, you remember before cell phones?
Yeah, no, I remember.
Yeah, the little caller ID box.
Very handy.
It would come up as Taras Boutre, the way it was spelled. Someone went up to the caller ID and says, do you know a Taras Butt Rage?
And they weren't kidding either.
There's so many butt references in this episode.
What are you talking about? And I went and looked at him like, oh, that's my friend Pappy. And they're like, how do you get Pappy out of Taras Butt Rage? I don't want to know.
Do you know how he got the Pappy name?
No, he got it from you, right?
When we were on the bowling team, that's how cool I was back in high school.
Hey, man, nice. I bowled too.
We're on the bowling team, and the other school was putting the names in, and instead of T-A-R-A-S, they put T-A-R-O-S. And we just immediately turned it into an Italian, Papa Taros. And Papa Taros eventually became Pappy for short.
Oh.
So he got that name because we bowled.
Went bowling.
Yeah. You went bowling. Well, yeah. You're on the bowling team.
On the bowling team in school, motherfucker.
Hey, I took bowling in college.
Wow.
That was my phys ed course. I went down to Chaco's and they're like, yeah, go down there, do five games whenever. You could just show up, tell them it's for school, and then just come back with your score, and yeah, that's your grade.
Wow.
It was great. But what I was mad about is my options were that or something really, like, ridiculous, like ballet or something stupid. And I'm like, well, what about, like, archery or some crazy shit like that? And they're like, no. Nah. And then as soon as I left, they had the program. And I'm like, you sons of bitches. Like,
they're like, no, get some tights or go bowling.
Right. Yeah, but you could have had the tights for the archery, too. Archery. If you really wanted to.
Yeah.
Archery like in Tomb Raider. Ah, bringing it back.
Hey.
Bringing it back. Speaking of archery.
Speaking of CHQ.
The last thing you have a note on would be the Attack of the Wolves, right?
Oh, no. You had a nice good comment before the wolf part.
Oh.
Where you got the axe in that little underground area.
Yeah.
And the one cutscene where you walked up carrying your torch. You're like, yeah, just lay a burning torch on a wooden table.
That's she did that. She goes up to this table, is looking at something, and she's just like, oh, here's my burning torch laid on a wooden table.
Well, later on in the game, you go to one of the campfires, and they built it on one of the wooden, like, hut things.
Yeah, one of the wooden outcroppings.
The fire is on the wooden cliff,
and there's like a little thing, like wooden thing that comes out, like a little wooden outcropping. The fire's like on it over the cliff.
I'm
like,
oh, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Smart idea.
It's a good idea. Yeah.
Who would have thought otherwise?
Whoever decided this was a brilliant person.
Yeah,
yeah. So after that, you exit, and then the wolf attack, which led to his seventh death was the wolf, because.
Oh, the one where you're on the ground with the arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're stuck in the trap.
Yeah.
He drew the arrow, and he's, like, looking around everywhere.
I'm aiming.
Looking, waiting, aiming, waiting. Wolf jumps out. He immediately stops aiming and gets mauled by the wolf.
Because
I'm just going to take it. Fuck it.
You hold the one trigger. You hold the one trigger to aim, but you have to hold the other trigger back to draw the arrow and let go.
That's how can they possibly ask you to do that? So, that is just way too complicated.
So I wasn't thinking about my right hand. I had the arrow drawn. I'm aiming. The wolf jumps, and I let go of the trigger. thinking that
you're
the
arrow. Stop
aiming. So really, in the game, Lara Croft's all pulled back like this. The wolf comes. She's like, "Whoa!"
She just lets go. I'm
just
like,
eat me.
Nope. Whatever.
Yeah.
That's so. Fine. I like your logic behind it though too.
Hit the checkpoint. Wolves start coming out again. You know, kills the first one, second, third. And then I don't know if he got mixed up or tired or confused.
That happens.
Forgot where he was.
He shot an arrow into the sky and it came back down and killed her.
he just missed the one, got mauled, died, and that was the end of the hour. The alarm went off right there.
Wow.
So he ended on a high note getting murdered by a wolf.
Yeah, that was fun.
Wow. Good stuff.
So,
and I may never play the game again.
So tell us your thoughts on the game.
That's actually really depressing because, like, from everything that I've been watching Tim play it.
Yeah, we've been kicking through that game.
Dude, like, it is, even just watching it and watching someone play through it, it looks like a very entertaining game. I know, and I'm not one to put a lot of time into games like this because I don't feel like I get enough out of it. This is one of those games where I could honestly say that I would sit down and play through it and get to the end because it's enthralling. I'm interested enough in what they're doing with the storyline. Like it's, but the gameplay seems
throwing out big words.
It seems basic enough that you can kind of jump in and grab it and do whatever you want, but still complicated enough that you're not feeling like you're getting babied the entire time.
Yeah. Well, this is not the first Tomb Raider game I played. I had a different Tomb Raider. I forget which one. I mean, who knows all the titles anyway? But I had it for the Wii when I first got my Wii. And I literally spent like 15 minutes trying to open a door that I just got so frustrated with. I'm like, fuck this. And then I took the game back to GameStop and traded it in on something else. Because I'm not so good with the puzzle games, the puzzles within games and stuff, because it's like you got to do things in a certain order or a certain way. And I don't know if I'm just too dumb or I just don't think about the things right, but if I don't have someone there helping me, like Joe, giving me, like, little ideas of what I could try, I don't think of this shit on my own, you know?
I gotta say, first impressions, it was only an hour watching you play. It didn't really look like there's gonna be much puzzle.
There's actually a couple that are pretty ridiculous.
Well,
as the game, like, right, the beginning is really just setting it up. It's like, you crash, and then they set up, here's the conflict. Your group is there, but they get separated. And then once you get the base mechanics of, like, basically when the villains show up with this, like, this crew that's on the island for whatever nefarious purpose, once you get past all that, it sort of opens up into a semi-open world, kind of like Arkham City. Like, there's a, like, we found some puzzles, like, just to try and get some extra loot early on.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do them. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I can't figure this out. And I thought, well, I'll just come back to it later. And I realized that an item I got a few hours into the game would allow me to go back and do that puzzle. Mm-hmm. And there's quick travel between the fireplaces. So you can go, like, when you find all the different fireplaces, you can be like, oh, well, I'm going to go back to this spot now and go back and complete that thing I couldn't do because I didn't have this item. Now I do. Like, now I can climb this wall because I have a special axe that'll let me, like, pickaxe my way up the wall.
Up the aggro crag.
The aggro crag. So there's a lot of that I didn't expect. And then, like, did you play Guardian of Light? The top-down twin-stick shooter?
Not all of it. I played maybe an hour or two of it.
Okay, it's...
I'd love to play more of it.
Yeah, I love that. I've beaten it like two or three times now.
Wait, but what was the name of it?
Guardian of Light.
Because I love twin-stick shooters. Like, Smash TV's my shit.
I have this.
Like,
we could play it. I have it on the computer.
Yeah.
but you know how that one had, like, you'd walk by a door and it would be a tomb that you could go in? They do that. I mean, it's really blended into the game. Like, you would just think, like, oh, is that the way I gotta go? And you could end up in this tomb, and it would say Tomb of Ascension or whatever. And then it's this open area where you can get a skill point or, like, a treasure by working your way through this puzzle and trying to figure it out, which is fun. I mean, they're pretty simple. Like, once you look at it and play around with the things in the room, you're like, oh, okay, like, I got this. But that's what's nice about it is there's there's puzzles in the game itself, but there's also these side things that you don't have to do at all.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you come into them, you're like, oh, cool, this is a completely different, like, style of gameplay. You don't have to usually worry about fighting anybody in there.
So more like a classic Tomb Raider feel?
Yeah, yeah, more like exactly, because you're pulling the lever and you're, like, at a run and jump on a thing real quick, and or, you know, it's pretty standard fare.
Yeah, because my first impressions of the game itself seems like it's definitely more action-oriented. Previous Tomb Raiders.
It really depends. Like, it depends on the parts of the game. Like, it's there are parts that I think stay true to the original form.
Well, the reason why I'm enjoying it so much is it feels fresh. I mean, they took this character and the idea, they took her backstory, and they said, you know, we want to make... Or not even, let's say they just wanted to make a game. They wanted to make a game that's a good adventure game.
Yeah.
And then they had the Lara Croft character to use, and they blended all this stuff together and took stuff from, you know, Uncharted. They took stuff from Batman, all those different types of mechanics, and put them all together into a game that doesn't feel like it's trying to be those. Like, you can compare it to Uncharted all day.
Yeah.
Just because there's the climbing and whatnot. But it doesn't feel like... Like, Uncharted's climbing feels like you're doing it every 2 minutes. Like, you have to climb. And this, it feels natural. It feels like you're on this really fucking crazy island. There's all these runes everywhere. Laura's really involved with looking at the runes, too. She'll hear her talk and comment on, like, oh, this is that, this is that. Like, I recognize this. There's a really good central mystery that's sort of going on. I already figured out what's going to happen in the plot.
Good, don't say shit.
No, I'm not going to say shit. Everybody dies. but, I mean, it feels fresh, and I feel like that's, to do a reboot right, that's what you want, is you want to be true to the source material, you want to create a new game, because the old gameplay does not work anymore. And this is, a good point with this, too, is, like, Resident Evil, this is what Resident Evil needs to do to become a good series now. Because Capcom's been talking about rebooting it lately, and this is what they need to do with that franchise. They need to take a game, or take that game series, and give us something that is, like, a true survival horror game. Because this feels like survival horror to me. Like, you're out hunting, you're surviving. You're surviving against really all odds. And, It's like, this is how you do a reboot, in my opinion. And that's how other companies should really look at it. They should look at this game and see how they did it and roll with it. Once you get through further into the game, you'll start to enjoy it more. And
Hopefully after the move, I can sit down and actually get more into games. I still haven't gotten to fire up Devil May Cry. I still haven't gotten to fire up Metal Gear Rising.
Yeah, I really want to play Rising. I'm so excited for that.
Still want to play Fire Emblem. I haven't even cracked that open yet.
Oh, really? God. You're an asshole.
I haven't gotten back to it because I've been playing... Well, yeah, we can go into like what we're playing now, too, since we're pretty much done with Tomb Raider.
Well, I wanted to get Bogue's final thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what are your thoughts? You know, graphics, gameplay, controls. Is it something that you would go back to sometime? Is it, you know, if it were a budget game, or is it something you would pick up now, today, at full price? Or buy my extra copy of.
Well, I know you really want to sell me that your extra copy of, because Joe asked to have the.
My steelbook, bitch.
There's the game that costs X amount of dollars, and then there's the ultra super special edition, which Joe got initially, and then he found another ultra super special edition that was different from the first ultra super special edition.
Really?
So he needed to get both of them because there's, you know, parts about both of them. Exactly, because
he's a super special edition.
Well, no, so now he wants to sell the game.
Got a steelbook, and I will fully admit I am a whore for steelbooks.
He wants to sell just the game out of the super special.
Probably just invest in steel and make your own books.
there is a company online that makes the steelbooks for the collectors. You can order direct from them.
Oh, wow.
They make cases for games that don't get steelbooks. They make steelbooks for those.
Oh, nice.
And you can get it. So if there's a game that you really like that didn't have a cool addition to it, you can buy the case and just put your game in.
Tim, buy stock in that company because he's going to buy all of them.
Well, like, he's going to call him up and be like, give me one of everything, bitch.
I'll take them all.
Like, so at the end of the day, though, after you played through... the first hour of it, would you be inclined to go back to it?
I don't think I got very far for playing for a straight hour.
You didn't.
God damn that boulder.
So I'm thinking if this is a game that any normal person would take about 10 hours to play.
Yeah.
It would probably take me about 30, you know,
well, actually,
or whatever.
I don't think it will, just because, like we said, the game does change once you get past, because you're close to it. Like, you're gonna, once you get past the wolf, you go talk to the dude, and then basically the villains show up, and you really start rolling. A few more stupid fucking quick time events, but not long after that, you're like, they pretty much start the pacing of the game, and now where I'm at, it's like, I have an objective, but I have so much going on, like I have so much gear, and I have so much extra little stuff, and so many fireplaces unlocked, I can go back and just start kind of like hunting, exploring, you know, getting all these little puzzles done if I want to go back and do that.
You can
that.
XP grind, it's, so you can just, like...
That's the shit I'm gonna
max out
doing.
All of your shit.
There's like, a lot of different little paths you can do. Like, there's my objective. I could go climb up this other way and, like, look way down on those dudes and start sniping them. They have no clue where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. Like, you get a lot of... a much different gameplay experience than you do in the first.
Well, right now, I don't have a whole lot of time to play, but I'm gonna have more time to play coming up in the next few weeks, you know, when... the woman goes back to work and the kids are in school and everything, then it's just going to be like, you know, the baby's sleeping, I'm going to be playing something. It's not something I'd go out and pay $50 for. It's not something I think I want to buy off of you for $40. It is something that I would pick up if it was used, pre-played, or
like a
discount, the $20. Yeah, I think so.
How about for fans of like that kind of gameplay?
For fans of that kind of game, I'm sure it's something that they want to pick up, because it was very great. The graphics were very good. There was nothing that was hokey or cheesy about it, which happens a lot in
games
like
that.
Yeah, I
like that it was
a lot
more mature story-wise. Like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah, the only thing that I kind of didn't like about it, and this is like, you know, I most of the times with my gaming, I kind of come from a Bogue standpoint, where I just kind of like, I like games that I can just kind of pick up, play, you know, do whatever and not get too involved in, or if they're that complicated. But I can really appreciate all of the work that they put into this, but the one thing that kind of like set me off as far as like storyline-wise within, and I'm sure you got a little bit of this within that first hour that you've done, where she might have only done it once, but she sits at the fire and she pulls out that camera and she's just like, oh, nostalgia time. Let's go back and watch a video. Like, it happens again for where Tim's at. It happened one more time. And I'm just like, man, I don't give a fuck. I just want to
hurt her. It's probably going to happen.
Like, I'm like, I want to know what the major storyline is of why I'm on this little like island thing. And like, yeah, I like the little bit of the background storyline flashback kind of thing. But at the same time, it's like, it doesn't drive the storyline enough for me to think that it should have been in there. Like,
when
like,
you're at that point, and you could use a little bit of a break to reflect, that's a kind of thing that would be cool if it's going to give you some answers, but it doesn't.
But it doesn't. It's just kind of one of those things like, here, watch this while you catch your breather because you just blew your mind.
Yeah.
Like, it's like that's what it kind of comes off as to me. It's just like, look how fucking great we are. Take a second just to recap all the shit that we just did. Like,
yeah.
You're like, wow, that was really awesome when we did that, right? Like, well, shouldn't you be paying attention? Nah, that doesn't matter. Like,
it is. It would be really helpful if that little, playback or whatever you want to call it, the flashback that she does, was giving you some kind of answers as to why you're where you're at and what you need to do.
Well, maybe they do, like, later on, but I can't
see. Maybe it makes sense,
like,
later on.
Maybe.
Because my main thing is, like, you know, if you think in reference to what the item actually is, all it is a video camera that she was recording a bunch of clips of while they were on their way to the island. So the majority of the stuff that they're probably have figured out is probably stuff they figured out while they were on the island.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, what could they really go back to on the camera that would really make that much of a difference? Aside from, it was cool the first time because they're like, yo, we're going to go through, was it the Devil's Triangle or whatever they called it or something? But they're like, we're going to go through this way just because we think it's here instead of where everybody else thinks it is. Mm-hmm. And then that's like, oh, okay, that's why their ship got fucked up, because, you know, they went this way and they probably shouldn't have, but that's probably because the thing's actually here, like, you know, whatever. So that bit of a backstory, it's like, okay, it's that moment of clarity where you're like, now I understand. But at the same time, it's like, they explain it later on with that, without going back to the camera. So it's like, if the camera thing wasn't there, you'd still understand what's going on.
It's pretty much just recapping what you already know or what you're going to find out about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I mean, like, I can kind of understand where you were coming from, where the pacing, that makes a lot more sense to me. But if I was a game designer, and I was going to put something like that in there, I think I would want to do something that you had to pay attention to a little bit more.
Make it a little more relevant.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's to me, it was just a little tacky, just because, you know, those first two... Yeah, the first two, especially the second one. Mm-hmm. Like, the second one that you encounter...
Where she's
like,
talking to her friend or whatever.
Well, no, that the second... Oh, wait, maybe there's three then. But there's one that you sit down and you go to watch it, and it's the lead archaeologist, like the older dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's him and the guy that looks like he could be a barbarian. Tito, whatever. Tito. He looks like the guy from Rocket Power or whatever. But, obscure reference.
Yeah, just a little. Holy
yeah,
shit.
But, so they're like, they're filming filler material for their reality TV show. So they're like at this counter and they're like, oh, we're going to show you how to gut a fish. And it's just like, and the guy can't do it. He drops the fish and gets all pissed off and walks off. You're like, oh, drama. Oh, my God. Like,
yeah.
Dude, this has nothing to do with what I'm doing right now. No. Like, I could give two fucks about, like, him trying to gut a fish. Like, it makes no sense.
Well, from a story perspective, they're trying specifically to make it...
To show that he's a pussy?
Well, like, no. they're trying to make you understand the crew, why she cares about these people or doesn't. You know, the dynamics of these people, because there's no drama if you don't give a fuck about anybody, if you don't know who they are. I mean, of course they're trying to make the archaeologist look like a dick, but, like, that seemed to have been apparent from, like, the first scene you see him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not everybody's going to be a perfect, likable character. It's not going to be a good, well-rounded plot. It's just like, writing 101, I guess.
Well, I kind of understand that, but at the same time, I mean, like, all I'm saying is you probably could have... gone around the whole camera thing to do that. I mean, like, I understand why they did it that way, but I think the main thing is I wish they would have put more stuff in there that was more pertinent to what was going on. Like, it just seems like it was kind of more filler than anything.
To at least help you figure out what you're going through.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's my main thing. But at the same time, I mean, like, I kind of answered it myself, you know, the fact that the majority of, like, all that stuff was recorded before they hit the island, most of the stuff that you're going to figure out, I would assume, is going to be while you're on the island. So
yeah.
Well, look at it from Lara's point of view. If you're going through all this crazy shit, maybe she's just using that as a way to just take her mind off things. And
yeah, it could be more of like a grounding thing to try and ground the character.
It's like,
more.
I just had to murder 30 people with a bow and arrow. I shot 80, four dudes.
It was 80.
I just had to shoot four dudes through the neck. I used a rope and yanked someone off a cliff. And then I killed a bird to get some shit off of him. Let me watch my camera.
And then you shot a deer in the asshole.
Yeah, shot a deer.
A gay deer in the asshole.
Directly in the asshole.
Yeah, but like my thing is, too, it's one of those kind of like... I think there was a cutscene that kind of described that. They're just like... she's like, I had to fucking kill someone. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then, like... 2 seconds later, you're just murder. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was one really funny part, too. So
you're supposed to get rewarded for the stealth kills. Like, you get little bonus XP or whatever.
Right.
And I was...
Boom,
so, three guys walk out of a hut, and they're like, why do we gotta fucking be here? This is fucking stupid. And I'm like, yeah, you're not gonna be here for very long. So, they... One guy, like, goes straight, one guy goes right, and the other guy's kind of lagging behind. So I run up behind him, and I grab him and fucking stealth kill him. Go right into the stealth kill cutscene and everything. And he's like, ugh, you know, getting choked out.
Make that sound again.
the usual, you know, the stealth kill, you're choking him out. And it alerts both his buddies. And I'm like, isn't the point of a fucking stealth kill to not alert anybody?
Yeah.
Why am I even trying this? So I get blown away instantly. The two guys turn around and just gun me down. So I'm like, fuck it. Huber's sitting next to me, and I'm like, alright, watch this stealth maneuver. It reloads, the guys walk out, I pull out my machine gun, and I run out and gun them all down. And I'm like...
That's what you get.
That's what you get. Like, fucking, why am I even bothering with the stealth right now? Because I can just machine gun them all down.
He's like fucking Scarface.
get fucked.
Nah, the best kill so far was still that dude fucking.
Oh yeah, that was so fucking awesome, and that like bell tower thing.
Yeah, I'm walking around, and you hear this, you hear the guy scream as he like jumps off the platform. I literally turn and like a third of a fucking second turn and shoot him with my shotgun. He was dead before he hit the ground. Like
nice,
and I wasn't even looking at him. I turned and went boom, and then just kept walking.
Yeah, because he was turned left, looking at the rest of the building, and you hear, ah, and then in literally like a split second, just, and he's done. No, actually, like, he's toasted. Like,
you can't even make the sound effects for how quick I did it.
No, it was instantaneous. Like, he's like, ah, done. Like,
so Tim has skills.
Here's the Counter-Strike.
Yep.
But no, the other game I've been playing a lot of lately, well, Huber and I have been playing, is Dokapon Kingdom.
We'll talk about what we're playing today.
Yeah, there's the segue.
Dokapon Kingdom.
Have you heard of this?
I've heard of it. I have never actually played it.
It is so entertaining. Isn't it kind of like brutal.
A board game style?
It's kind of like a Mario Party meets like a Final Fantasy-esque RPG.
Yeah,
it's awesome. Like, it's a lot of fun.
It's Mario Party, but instead of stars, you liberate towns that monsters have taken over.
Nice.
And you can pump money into them when you land on the space again, or if you go to a different space that lets you have a list that you can invest into, you can up their net worth. And at the end of the week, like, it shows you and the other four people you're playing with, or the other three people you're playing with, four people total, everybody's net worth, and it charts it and whatnot. And it's really, really, really fun. If you land on a space that's not a town, it puts you into a random battle, and it's like you can do a magic attack. And they have, if they hit their magic attack, depending on what it is, it might block the spell or counter the spell.
It's like rock, paper, scissors.
There's an attack. If they do defend, they get a little bit of damage. If they do anything else, they get the normal amount. If you do a strike and they counter, you're dead instantly. If they don't do a counter, they get massive damage, or you can run away. Like, there's four options at all times when you get into a fight. If you land on the same space as a character that's not a safe space, like a shop or a town, you can fight the other player, and if you beat them, you can steal all of their money.
Oh, Jesus.
One of any item they own, including their equipment.
Later on in the game, you could steal one of their towns.
Yes, you can steal a town. Or you can alter their appearance, change their hairstyle to look like poop, or you can change the character's name.
I have a feeling this results in possibly the most profane game night.
Wait, hold on. No, don't say anything. Don't say anything. I'll find it.
Yeah. And it's funny, though, because this is on...
You should say that.
There's a bunch of different versions of it. Like, I'm getting the... There's a DS version. Everybody said it's kind of meh, but I'd like to have it just because when I'm on the road... Because what's really great about this game in particular, regardless of what system you end up getting it on, because it's on like a shit ton, but we're playing it on the Wii.
Yeah, I think it's on the Wii and the PS too.
There's a
GameCube one, there's a Super Nintendo one, there's a bunch.
Oh, imports?
Yeah. Right. So we were playing on the Wii. You can take one controller and just pass and play because it's turn based. So you can have four people playing with one controller, which is awesome. Same thing with the DS. So when I'm on the road, my other bandmates and I were probably just going to be passing it back and forth and just playing
it out. And the band will be broken up.
And the band will be broken up.
It's my turn. No, fuck you.
It says exactly what's going on. But what's really funny about it, as soon as he finds. Oh, wait, you know what? I know exactly where it is, Tim. Oh, you moved it. It was on that chair. So whatever you took off of that chair,
I'll find it
where it is. But yeah, I mean, it is a lot of freaking fun. But there's a lot of different. There's a lot of different character classes. Like, I started off as a thief.
Read that.
Oh yeah, read the top. This is on every single version of the game. Read it out.
The friendship destroying game.
That is exactly what it is.
It's brutal.
Like, Tim and I have been playing a campaign for what, like three days worth of playing
and
this game.
Straight through the days too.
Like. And we are literally like we were at each other's throats.
And we're like, right at the end of the game. We stopped playing too competitively and just started trying to
because we want to see what the end game is like. Because it does. There is a lot.
Game is huge.
I think there's what, like nine continents?
Seven continents.
Seven?
Yes.
And every single time you have like a bunch of different things that you have to do within the continent to unlock the next one. And I'd say we've dumped at least like 5 hours per continent?
Yeah, it bogs bogs down a little bit now and then, like, because sometimes you plan on doing something, and just the dice will not roll in your favor, and you'll end up trying to loop around the same spot for 20 minutes.
Or a random thing will just fuck you over in the worst way ever.
There's, dozens and dozens of random events that happen.
Really?
Like, I had a rare item that you only can get one time in the game from one event, and it lets you get to an area I've never seen. So I'm like, oh, shit, I need to head over there, but I need to stop at a shop first. So on my way to the shop, this fucking dude called Weber the Magician or something shows up. And he's like, oh, I got a present for you. And I'm like, oh, great. What the fuck is this? Because so far, he's been getting
I've been getting presents, absolutely fucking dicked over.
And he gave me a thing called a big Bug, which systematically eats all of your items if you cannot kill another player and give it to them instead.
Oh, God.
Yeah, dude, it is brutal.
It won't eat your equipment, but it'll eat the items in your bag, so it ate this rare item that you can only get once in the game. Oh. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
So
I like the line here, grab your soon-to-be ex-friends
and
charge into a true contest of strategy, wit, and beating each other senseless.
It really is. Like, it is, it's brutal.
Is it me, or did they use Comic Sans to write this on the back?
They may have, but it's okay because the game's worth it. And even just, even some of the humor that they had in it, there was the one...
Oh, yeah, that was from the picture I put up on Facebook that was the king being like, yo, for shizzle rizzle, we gotta get this museum up and risen.
Yeah, dude, we're dying laughing, absolutely hysterical. But we had... How many hours of gameplay do we have? We have
I don't even want to think
over
about
20,
it.
Over 24 actual hours of gameplay into this game that we have, just me and him. And there's still stuff that we're seeing that we haven't seen before.
There's classes in the game that are hidden, and you have to do certain things. Like, it's one of those games that playing it blind is a lot of fun. Once you grasp the basics of it, you start having a lot of fun with it. But I couldn't imagine playing a game with experienced people, because then everybody's going to have their own agenda. Like,
yeah.
There's a hidden class we found called Robo Knight that we haven't been able to get yet. But, we said... I imagine somebody who has played the game before who knows how to get that will instantly, all right, I'm going to master this class and this class, and then go get this item and bring it here, and once I have all those conditions met, it'll open up this new class that I can take as a job, which will open up new skill sets that will help me achieve my murderous victory. The game does have the equivalent of a blue turtle shell effect, though.
Oh, God.
And that comes in the form of a bat that comes over your head, and it shows up, and whoever's in, and you have to be in last place. You can't be neck and neck with somebody. You have to be, everybody's obliterating you, and you're down on the bottom. So this bat will show up over your head if you're in last place, and it'll say, you hear whispers of dark revenge. And you're like, what the fuck does that mean? So we found out that if you go to this space called the Dark Space, they're just off
on
the side of...
That's so weird.
Off the side of one of the continents, you can go there, and the Magician Weber guy will show up, and he will offer you a contract that says, if you give up all of your gold, all of your towns, and all of your items, I will make you a Darkling for 13 days. And you're like, what? If you're in last place, you're like, I don't give a fuck. Do it.
I'm losing it, anyways.
I think it quadruples all of your stats. Makes it so that you roll differently. You roll for demon points. And you have a set, a set of things you can do with the demon points.
We have to do that and your movement.
Yeah, and your movement.
And the movement rolls, because normally you only have, a spinner of 6 spaces. You could buy items from the shops that'll give you, three spinners or whatever. When you're this demon thing, most of the time you're getting, five spinners.
4 or 5 spinners.
Yeah.
So you can pretty much move anywhere. You can teleport people to you and kill them. You can teleport everyone to you and kill everyone. Can put a monster on a town or all towns, effectively taking them away from the players.
So it's resetting the fucking game?
Yeah, you can drop, a row. You can basically, you're a villain. You can, anything that the monster's AI can do, you can do now. But it's limited, and then you get reset. You get put back to normal after those 13 days, but usually you've completely turn the tide of the game. Whoever's in first place has probably had so much hell rain down on them.
You fucked everything up.
And what's funny is if you go into this game blind and you don't know that, and whoever, and you know, somebody's in last place, they're just having a horrible time, then all of a sudden this happens. It's all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, God.
Yeah. You're like, all that time when I was making fun of that guy because we're absolutely annihilating him.
And now
he's going to turn around and just crosshairs on my fucking forehead. Like,
yeah, now you want that guy to be your best friend in the world.
You're like, oh, dude, no, you shouldn't do that. Like, please don't murder me.
It's basically Dick Move the video game.
It really is. And it's so much fun.
It's an Atlus game.
Yep.
It's worth it. Atlus. It's so fucking worth it. I would love for them to make a Wii U version. Because then you get to use the gamepad, which
they probably will. They've been making these games since the Famicom.
I just wonder, do you know if that one sold well in the U.S.? Because that's the first one they brought here.
It's still at like 20, that's what, like pre-owned from GameStop, it's like 20, like 30 bucks.
I'm sure it did fine as per an Atlus game typically does. It probably did actually less than fine, but it's obvious that they didn't make too many copies because of the value. I mean, it's 30 bucks used.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those titles that they didn't print so many of.
Well, maybe not in the States.
Well, yeah, not in the States, but that's what Atlus does.
But where do we live?
Well, yeah, I understand that, but still, it might have done really well
in other places. I'm sure since the franchise has been going on for so long, I'm sure that it will still go on in Japan, which I'm fine with.
It's just whether or not it'll come here.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's a fan following, and it will probably, even if it doesn't come here, it would be importable and translatable. Like, it wouldn't be difficult to play a game without figuring out what's going on.
Well, Atlus is the king of bringing niche titles to the U.S. Like, on the Atlus term, you know, speaking Atlus, I've been playing Etrian Odyssey 4.
Yeah.
More Atlus and more insanely
complex old-school RPG.
I'm actually happy because I never could really get into these games before, but they have a casual mode this time.
Oh, yeah, because you're casual.
Yeah.
You're small time.
Well, no, those games are notorious for being brutally difficult.
Yeah.
Like, bosses and monsters will wreck your shit in that game. And I actually tried playing it on normal for
5 minutes?
No, like 2-3 hours. And it was, I'm kicking my ass constantly. Mm-hmm. And I ended up just pussing out, going down to easy. Pussy. And, yeah, like a gigantic raging pussy. And I'm having a lot more fun with it because I can actually do things in the game now.
You can actually play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really funny.
I've also been playing Fire Emblem, and I'm almost done with Retro Game Master on the DS, which I've always wanted to play because I love the show that it's based off of, the Japanese Game Center CX.
Yeah.
So Tomb Raider.
So Bogue, aside from Tomb Raider, you play anything else lately?
My son and I sat down, we were playing some. Let's see, he was getting into Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yeah.
I was watching him play that, but him and I played together. We did a little You Don't Know Jack.
Nice!
And which is always a fun time. That's just a fun game to play.
That game's so fun.
And what else did we play together?
Ruzzle?
he wanted to play the Wii Sports Resort, and I only have one controller for that.
Until today, the
Motion Plus. So now I got more.
But now you can play ping pong.
Hells yeah,
dude! Ping pong's so good.
No, but I really haven't been spending much time playing. He was playing Minecraft, that looks like something I want to get into.
It's fun. Minecraft's one of those games that you can get out of it whatever you want.
Sure.
Like, you know, if you want to just go in and just try and, like, dick around and build a giant dick out of cobblestone, you could do that. Or you can, like, make this really lavish castle and, like, you know, a whole mining system with carts and shit like that. So it is really one of those games you can get out of it whatever you want. So that's one of those kind of games that I see a lot more people getting into because they could make it be whatever they want it to be.
Oh, when you get into Borderlands 2, and you get further in the game, I'll have to take you through the Minecraft area.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. I did download a couple games, buy a couple games.
Oh, man. Did you guys get in on that Games on Demand sale last week?
No. Dude, I'm broke, sauce.
Holy shit.
Like, so bad.
Dude, there were $3 games.
I know.
Full Game on Demand.
I watched, like, because you were posting all of the things on Facebook, and every single time I saw it, I'm like, man, I wish I had money. Man, I wish I had money.
The only other big news that happened in the past week, well, technically, was Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag.
Black Flag.
Black Flag.
Yeah, they should really just have Henry Rollins be you know, the next Ezio, because that would be fucking awesome.
There you go.
So we have Ass Creed, and when Brotherhood came out, it was Ass Bros. I've declared this one Black Ass.
Black Ass.
Well, here's the funny thing, is they're like, wait, people were okay with Assassin's Creed 3, but they didn't love it like they did Assassin's Creed 2. What did we do wrong? Like, pimpin' hoes. They even show you in the trailer, he walks up
he
and
murders this guy, just takes the chick and walks away.
Guys walk up the street with her chick.
It's so
murders
good.
Murders her and just
that
puts his arm around her and she's
trailer.
Like,
okay. All right, that's what you
fuck,
do.
You don't give a fuck.
Dude, this dude just murdered your boy.
Oh, here's the thing.
Like, what are you gonna arm do? Around, I'm not gonna fuck with him.
Don't, yeah, you can't. Don't even scream.
My friends that are big Assassin's Creed fans were telling me that the best thing in 3 was the first few chapters where you're playing as the main character's father, because apparently he's really badass. And now, you're playing as the main character of Assassin's Creed 3's grandfather, which seems to be more badass than the other guy was.
Except for he's got the cane.
But it's really weird that now we're going like, we've been ascending through time in this series.
And now,
and now
we're
it's like
regressing a little bit.
Regressing a little bit because they made a mistake? I don't fucking know.
Maybe it's like Back to the Future.
People just want more Kenway action.
It seems
strange. No, they just want to be on the ships because everybody's like, wow, the ships were really, really cool. Let's just make a game that's got more ships.
No, I think I think what they did is they realized that they can't salvage the Connor character. He's not as attractive to play from a women's standpoint, as a he's a sexy character, or from a man's standpoint of he's a badass character.
So you're saying that pirates are sexier?
Pirates are very sexy.
Dude, pirates are about the sexiest thing in the world. If I would be a pirate if that was still
a butt pirate,
you still can't
already
be a butt pirate.
Is.
yeah, I mean, I think that's the train of thought. Is I'm sure that they were actually already working on this alongside of Assassin's Creed.
I really
3,
wish they would have just changed the fucking name. Why couldn't they like? As soon as I saw it, I'm like, Assassin's Creed Black Flag. I'm like, when you've got, the name Black Flag, anybody that is anybody that has ever heard music with distortion on the guitar is going to be like, oh, Black Flag.
I'm going to cover the mic for this. I didn't know.
Well, yeah, because you don't listen to music with distortion on the guitar.
Well, either Henry Rollins' punk band from back in the day, or
he was
the King's X song, Black Flag.
Exactly. But there's so many, like it's one of those kind of things where it's like, you could have come up with something a lot better. Like, oh, like, pirates, what are they about? Pirate flags, okay, what's really unique about black? Okay, well, let's just call it a black flag. All right, yeah,
I understand.
It's
why
about pirates, black flags. Nailed it.
Well, actually, traditionally, black flag, flying a black flag, it doesn't have. It's not set to pirates and ships and shit like that. Specifically, it's if a black flag is flown, isn't that a sign of the town is? It was like plague or illness or something like that. Don't come here,
right?
Or you'll get sick and die.
My biggest problem with it is
don't play this game, or else you'll get sick and die.
My biggest
Assassin's Creed Black Flag. Don't play it.
Don't play it. You're gonna die.
I feel like they've created a small bit of brand confusion with this too, is because it's Assassin's Creed 4 now.
Right.
We're at 4, and I'm like, well, they did one. One was whatever.
Yeah.
They did 2.
They did 2.
And
then they went
great. And they said, we're going to make 3 more fucking sub-games off of this. Why isn't this Assassin's Creed 3 Black Flag? Because it has to deal directly with the heritage of that character again.
Because they already called it
It's building
4,
off
right?
that engine, and they're calling this 4.
What the
I think they just want to distance themselves from Assassin's Creed 3.
Well, then don't.
See, but then again, what Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Revelations did not have the 2 subtitle. They could have just called it Assassin's Creed
Black Flag. Or yeah. Assassin's Creed Butt Pirates. Like, whatever. Like
they could have just... I mean, once again, that would have also been a little confusing because people are always confused about the order of the games. But, I mean, if they did that... Because now it's... You're going from 3 to 4. I mean, I'm assuming... I don't know who hears... Spoiler alert. The end of Assassin's Creed 3 gives them an opportunity to not do anything with the Desmond character currently. To put it as vague as possible. So, they could have made Assassin's Creed Black Flag, and it could have technically come before 3 if they wanted to. This could have just been a standalone game, and it didn't have to be after 3. But now, it's assumed that it's after 3, but the plotline of it's going to take place before 3. And so, possibly so at, fuck and logic. After. Yeah.
What the isn't fuck? So fuck logic. But
isn't this really too soon for a new Assassin's Creed game?
Just they're annualizing it. That is the people market.
People are saying,
plan now.
Isn't it too soon? What, like, they haven't cranked out one a year for the past 5 years?
Well, when did 3 come out?
Last year.
See, but last just, year? Because yeah, I remember...
Like, wasn't it just months like ago?
I remember, months ago. Yeah. I remember watching the stuff about the 3s coming out over at your house.
Well, here's why this isn't a bad thing. The way Ubisoft does it is they do it... I mean, don't laugh at me. They do the Call of Duty model. They have two studios, technically. They have two teams working on these games at all times. The teams are connected. They talk to each other. It's not like they're not like, oh, we're going to make our own separate game. They are interconnected, but they're leapfrogging their releases. So it's not like this game gets worked on for a year and shit out.
Yeah.
Like a lot of games that do. This is, they have a lot of craftsmanship and a lot of good work that goes into this. Ubisoft can't be faulted for squeezing out one of these annually because they are doing a very good job.
What about, no, they can't, what they about can squeezing be it out because annually? It's to, because it's,
we need more ass talk.
No, I just think it would be really super awesome
overexposure.
And cool if I could write on an application... And where it says occupation, I could write pirate. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm trying to say. I would love to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas and have a peg leg and wear the hat and the patch and
see,
and kill people and loot their boats and.
I feel like once a year is
drink
not
rum
overexposure though.
A lot.
Once a year is fine.
Good,
if it was like Guitar Hero, where it was. Two
pirate
times
games?
A year?
No.
I mean,
there's
that,
like not any
that
really
was
good pirate games.
Don't forget, Guitar Hero, the one time, was like seven times a year.
Yeah, that was bad.
It was
ran
like
that
two,
shit
yeah, it was like two
ground.
Or three, yeah.
Once a year, I think once a year is a good mark to hit, because that way you can have a really cool set of games, because especially the Assassin's Creed stuff can have such a huge library of titles that are interesting come out of that. I don't want them to do it to the new Tomb Raider because those stories do not lend well to that type of design. You know, I don't want them to do it to, like, I don't want Valve to do it to Left 4 Dead or Half-Life or anything like that, although they could do it with Left 4 Dead, probably.
No, I just think once a year is too much.
But
I think every other year, because, you know, there's already so much shit to play every year. Mm-hmm. The fact that these game companies are, to me, they're cranking out the same game every year. I know they're different. They have their own pros and cons.
Yeah, but they're basically, I understand what you're saying, because it's one of those kind of things where they're taking the majority of a lot of the mechanics that they already had, and they're just building off of what they already did.
Yeah,
like, they're just like, change the storyline,
see, but
put a couple different gameplay elements in, cool, we're done. Like,
see, that's where I think that's okay, is because, like, all right, I'm a big fan of the Dresden Files books, or let's say the Harry Potter books. Harry Potter couldn't come out once a year, though. The Dresden novels usually do come out once a year. And what I'm getting is that I'm getting a new story with these familiar characters and these familiar places every year. I get to experience this again. But it's definitely not the same. It's building on the entire mythology. And the Assassin's Creed is specially tailored to that because they have an overarching plot. It's like a TV series. They have an overarching plot that you get tastes of every game. And then they have the main plot of that title, which is the historical stuff that you get to run through. That game series is very tailored fit to that. And I understand where Joe's coming from with the whole, you don't want to oversaturate the market and whatnot. Yeah. And
the thing, like, when I posted that on Facebook, the news story on the Gaming Vault, the first reactions were, really? Already?
Yeah, I was like, Jesus Christ, like, this has to be a hoax.
See, thing that kind of gets me is
I think they announced it too soon.
Maybe that's the big thing, is that they announced it so early.
It should have been held to
E3.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of these newer titles. If I do sit down and play them, it takes me a little while to get through them because, you know, I'm not a hardcore, like, sit down and bang out this, you know, woman. Crazy fucking title out in like 3 or 4 days.
Got it.
Like, I span it out over a longer period of time. So the way that I feel about it is I'll finish one of these games. If I actually purchase one and sit down and play it, I will play this game, I will find every little nuance of the fucking thing completed 100%, and as soon as that's fucking done, then they're like, hey, hype out this next version of the same fucking, like, they're,
I don't
it's already
they gave enough time for people to enjoy Assassin's Creed.
Exactly. It's all like the by the DLC time you're done with it, it's like, oh, I got to get ready for the next one. Yeah.
I have a feeling that this, because this was leaked, this is somebody got the poster or whatever, and then they put it up online, and then I think something leaked, and then they just decided to come out and say, hey, here's the info on it.
But even still, like, they sold a season pass for Assassin's Creed 3 with the Tyranny of George Washington. Part one of three.
That made me know that it was
came
part
out.
One. I thought it was one expansion. I didn't buy it because it's episodic for that. I thought, like, I was going to be able to download the story and play it. That was, seriously, like, I haven't installed Assassin's Creed 3 yet because all I really want to play is that alternate history version. I think that sounds awesome. But
the funny thing is, Assassin's Creed 3, I never even got to the part with Connor yet, but I played episode one of Tyranny, and it was fun.
Yeah, it looks cool. That's what I want to do.
So are they going to... They're still going to finish that, right?
Yeah, the other two parts are still going to come out.
What is... Like, what's the time frame on that? I'm just curious, just because I don't
probably
know.
Probably next few months.
It's...
So they're going to release... So one just came out, that first part of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, this new game doesn't come out till the end of October.
Okay,
it's
but...
Way
hear me out. So...
I'll hear you out.
So you've got the new game. The new game came... Like, Assassin's Creed 3 came out, what, like... Three, four months ago?
It came out in October.
October.
Okay, so four or five? Something like that?
Okay.
Whatever. So you release the game, you play through the game, you know, let's say it takes you, even a slow player, let's just say it takes a month, month and a half, maybe, something. So now they're going to release this DLC, and they just announced the title for the new one, so you can start hyping up the new, like, you know, the fourth version of it. So now you've got two more parts that are going to be released for this previous game. Even if you span them out 1 month, 2 months, something like that, it's March?
I think they were doing February, March, April for the three episodes.
Okay, so think about the majority of the gaming, at least for our area. If you think about the way that, you know, just most people are, if you're going to sit down and play a bunch of games, it's mostly between the seasons that aren't the summer.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're going to sit down, you're going to bang out all these things for this game, and then you're going to go off to your summer vacation, yay, and then as soon as you're done with all that shit, you're going to be like, oh yeah, I got to get ready for this game, because it's coming out in like a month, 2 months. So it's way too fucking quick.
Well, one of the big problems, too, is not just the oversaturation of every year of games, is the fact that everything tries to come out around Christmas. To get the sales boon.
Yeah,
and then it puts the consumer in a position where it's like, do I want to buy this game or this game? Because I'm not getting both. Like, I'm not going to have the time or the money to get both. And then there's people, you know, collectors like Joe, who are going to be like, I have to have all of the games, all the collector's editions.
No,
I have to have
all of them.
I have to have,
three versions of Tomb Raider.
Yeah. No. Two. Oh,
so far.
Two versions of Tomb Raider. But I mean that's rough, and I think that's the larger problem is these companies do not stagger the releases.
No,
they all come out.
Well, and the other thing is too, though, complain where some of their sales aren't as good as they thought they would be because they're pushing all of it out at the same fucking time. Like,
well, it's not a part of the sales thing too is the fact that they're not listening to their fans as much as they used to. Like, look at Dead Space. I haven't even finished it because I'm just like, whatever, at this point.
I'm excited about sending it in... what?
Blow.
I am
Hookers and Blow.
Hookers and Blow.
I'm excited about sitting at home at night with the big TV and playing something really scary. I was looking for Dead Space 1.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I found two, but
two is. You can start with two. You'll miss out on some of the deeper part of the story.
So I want to start with one. That's the thing. I'm going to go see if
one
I can download
one is
it.
One is tough, though. If my recommendation is always, if you get stuck in Dead Space 1 and don't want to play it anymore, just start up 2 because 2 starts out with such a fucking rush that you'll in it, and it guides you a lot smoother than 1 does. 1, there's a few points where you're like, what am I going to do? What's going on? Even if you have a little thing that tells you where to go and. You get into a room that has no gravity, and it is no fucking help to you. And you're looking around like, I'm lost. But just start, too, if you get stuck and frustrated.
But I'm excited about that. You know, I got the big TV now. I got the surround sound. I got the
the.
So you want to shit your pants in the company?
Sure. Yeah, I got the the wife that's in bed, and the baby and the kid that's in bed, and I'm just looking forward to like
a house full of people shitting their pants.
And, yeah, and it's
like 1 o'clock. Shriek from him is going to wake everybody.
1, 2 o'clock in the morning, just starting to play and having the surround sound down low enough that it's like, did I just hear something?
You know. Oh, so I want to announce on this podcast too that I mentioned Valve earlier. Speaking of them, they announced that they're going to start giving out Steambox prototypes to, I think the news story said customers of Steam or loyal customers of Steam or. Now I have like a 9-year experience badge on Steam. I beta tested that fucking program just to play Counter Strike back in the day.
Wow!
I want to fly out and sit on the Valve's lawn because people do this all the fucking time and get like tours and stuff of the company. I want to go out there with a sign that says, "Can I have Steambox?" and see what I can accomplish. See if I can get on that list of people to receive one. Because I mean, the stuff they say that they're gonna do with that. The fact that you can have 8 instances of one game going on.
Oh, my God.
We could just have LAN parties on a little fucking thing that's, like, that big. For those of you at home who can see. It's that...
It's about the size of a GameCube.
Yeah, well, it probably looks a little larger than a grapefruit. And, like, this thing is a PC that's as powerful as mine, which right now I can curl up inside mine.
Yep.
It's my winter home. But, all right, we need to cut this out. Yeah. We've been doing this for nearly 2 hours. Wow, we could have used up that memory card if we wanted.
Yeah, no shit. I'm probably going to have to chop a little bit of this.
Or
Friday night we'll roll around. I'm like, fuck it, just put it up.
You could cut it into 2 episodes, just one part 1 and part 2, just bonus episode, boner episode.
Boner episode.
Well, you could do the Tomb Raider episode, which was nearly an hour, and then
extra Tomb Raider shit.
Yeah.
If people are really, really, really bored.
You can do the stay after the credits for the,
we can call it detention.
You have to stay after class to hear these poor people.
All right, listen, fuckers, you're going to hang around and listen to everything you just heard. So.
Yeah.
All right, well. All
right. You'll look at that fucking number at the end and you'll be like, wow, really? 2 hours? What the fuck?
Who knows? Maybe people actually like it enough to listen to the whole fucking thing.
Do we have listeners yet? Does anybody listen to us?
No, I don't.
One guy. We have a couple.
One guy. We have one guy. Sweet.
No, we don't have any listeners that travel for 2 hours that are going to listen to this whole thing.
Or you have someone that's like, you know, fun employed like
us.
And you just sit there like, what can I do for 2 hours?
You need to set up an email account so we can have people write into us.
smallmediumlargepodcast@gmail.com.
Well, we have that already?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, please write into us.
What the fuck do you think I log in to YouTube?
Is it small, medium, large, or is it SML?
Small, medium, large podcast at gmail.com.
Yes, so somebody write into us. I'll put that up on our Facebooks this week and see if we can get some write-ins.
Yep.
We'll do viewer mail. We'll do a Q&A.
Holy shit,
viewer mail. Like, why don't you guys ever shut the fuck up? Well, the answer to that... 20 minutes later.
The answer to that is because fucking Dead Space should have done this.
Dark Souls.
And Diablo, cool.
just because I compare Dark Souls to everything.
Oh, yeah.
We need a way to get more content.
We need to talk longer.
You're save
your Dark Soul comparison.
No, this is legit. It's about Tomb Raider.
In Dark Souls, you get to the fireplace and you light the fire, and that's where you sit down and like do all your stuff. Yeah. In Tomb Raider, you get to the fire and you sit down.
That's where you do all your stuff.
Yeah. And it's just to go back. Really funny.
It's to go back because you're like, you can only reference to fucking.
You compare everything to Dark Souls. Dokapan Kingdom, Dark Souls. There's so much Dark Souls.
Trackmania, Dark Souls.
Yeah, Trackmania.
Dude, that would be a stretch. I don't know, because they are they're both really brutal. They're very. Want to kill yourself.
Yeah, unforgivingly difficult. Yeah.
Featured track this week. Are we going to go with your idea?
Oh, what was my idea?
Double Dragon theme song.
Oh, well, no,
Hell yeah!
You're the guy who cuts and splices.
Double Daggeron.
That's up to you.
Double Daggeron. Double Dragon Neon title theme by Jake Vert Kaufman. Check it out at vert.bandcamp.com. Check out all of his music because holy shit, he's awesome.
I can hear it in my head right now, and I'm fucking loving it.
All right, All right, here we go. Here's the high quality.
I put it on.
You actually imported on?
Yes, I packed the MP3.
I thought we just did this every week.
Stop,
I thought this
stop
is how we.
Fuck.